Hey friends, it's Peggy Hall here from thehealthyamerican.org. One thing that really has been bothering me, among other things, over these last few years is the concept of public health. Think about that and really think deeply about it. Public health. It comes to mind that there's no such thing as public health. There is only individual health. I'd like you to give me a definition, if you would, in a comment below as to what you think public health really means. What the government has made it mean is that I am responsible for someone else's health and someone else is responsible for my health. And you know, and I know that that's absolutely ridiculous. I did a video some time ago called What I'm Willing to Do for You. And it was tongue in cheek where I said things like, I'm willing to put on sunscreen so that you don't get a sunburn. And if any of you have a headache, please let me know and I'll be sure to take an aspirin. And by the way, would you please go to bed a little bit earlier because I'm a little tired when I wake up in the morning, and don't slack off on those sit-ups because I need to have a flat tummy. Now that was done tongue in cheek. And you may say, well, Peggy, there you go, poking fun again. Of course, they're talking about infectious diseases, things that are contagious, diseases and illnesses that you can catch from someone else. So that creates a premise. And the premise is this, that we become sick because someone else makes us sick. And I ask this question, if that's the case, then how can it be that I could be among many people that are sick, but I am healthy? Or how could it be that your entire household doesn't get sick, but you do? It doesn't make sense that you personally are responsible for someone else's health. I want to talk in this video a little bit about public health, how it became like a runaway train, and how now there is a call for public health measures and public health authority to be reined in. And then I want to leave you with a really great piece of news about the state of Florida, how they actually have just passed legislation that is going to roll back a lot of these cooties measures. And I also want to share with you a couple letters from my lovely Healthy Americans about what they have been doing to stand up for their own individual health. Friends, at the beginning of all of this hogwash, I went to work to, actually they kicked me out of work, but I rolled up my sleeves and I started to do some research about public health. Now, I do believe that there is such a concept as public sanitation and public safety. So for example, I believe that there should be stoplights and stop signs and posted signs, whether you can make a U-turn or not. And I think that there should be lights around parks and dark parking lots and things of that nature, because I do believe that public safety is important. And I also believe in public sanitation. I don't want to swim in polluted waters. I certainly don't want polluted air. We've been talking about that over the last few videos, and I will continue to bring you great information about cleaning our skies, breathing clean air, and I will show a lot of the images and information that you've shared as well. So stay tuned a little bit later this week. But what I want to talk to you about is this whole concept of public health. I believe that that is the bottom card in the house of cards that needs to be pulled out so that the whole house of cards will tumble. Everything that we've been through, all of the hogwash that's been sloshed all over us over the last 3 years has been in the name of public health. Now, public sanitation, obviously, we want there to be trash collection. If there is a chemical explosion in some factory, I do believe that there should be some sort of steps that can be taken so that the public is safe from this type of disaster. If there is an earthquake, if there is a man-made tornado or intentional fires that are set or floods that are caused by, you know, the geoengineering going on in the air, then definitely I do believe that there needs to be regulations, policies that were created through a legitimate legislative process that can be followed so that people and property can be protected. I'm all in favor of that. I'm in favor of personal protection in terms of perhaps you want to have a bang bang on hand, and perhaps you have gone through classes to understand how to handle that protection and method of protection, mode of protection. So I am all in favor of these types of, let's say, activities and even government interest that need to be in place so that we, the people, and our property is protected. Absolutely. But when it comes to the concept of me being responsible for someone else's health, unless I'm running around yielding some machete and screaming at the top of my lungs, and I'm at imminent risk of harming someone, there's no way legally, lawfully, morally, ethically, logically, that I, as just an individual, am putting someone else's life at risk just by living, just by breathing. Yet we were told from the get-go that you might be sick and you don't even know it. Well, I looked up the word disease, and disease carries the definition of having to do with symptoms of an illness. So that is how God created us. He created us with this mechanism whereby we have symptoms such as a headache or fatigue. Maybe your skin is itching, or you're coughing, or you're sneezing, or you're having a pain in your stomach or your knee. These are symptoms, and these are signals that our body is telling us that we are out of balance. But how in the world could I have any impact on someone else's individual health? So I have come to really embrace the notion that there's no such thing as public health. There is only individual health. And this concept that you and I are carriers of some mysterious, unseen, invisible disease that we can infect someone else, even though we ourselves have no symptoms. How exactly does that happen? Now, I am not a person who actually believes in the theory of virology, and it is just a theory, and it's a flimsy theory at that, meaning there is not a lot of evidence that shows that some unseen particle is actually causing disease. But let's just play in their playground for a moment and believe that that's the case. How in the world could I ever pass on another disease to someone else if I am not coughing or sneezing or somehow expelling whatever it is that could be contagious? And even if I were doing that, there's no law against it, all right? There's no law against coughing or sneezing in a public place. In fact, there's no law against being sick. But the hogwashers from the day one instilled fear into not me and not you, but all y'all others who didn't have the wherewithal to stand up against it and say, what in the world, the non-spinning world, is going on here? So what happened is people were living in fear, and they had the concept that people like you and me walking by, living, working, breathing, somehow we were a threat to them. Talk about the old concept of divide and conquer, of pitting one person against each other. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Pitting the two political parties against each other, people of different skin tones against each other, people of different economic achievements against each other. I am not in favor of any of that whatsoever. I'm on record to say that I also don't care for that division and the hero worship of healthcare workers or attorneys or teachers. Teacher knows best. Well, no, I would say in most cases, the parents know best. But the concept that there are some professions that are elevated above another, I don't care for that as well. I never like to use the phrase middle class or working class or upper class. We don't have a class society here in the United States. We left that behind in England when we came to the United States to create our own country of freedom. So the concept here of pitting people against each other, those that are healthy, those that are sick, those who are a human pincushion, those who are pure, I don't care for that whatsoever. And it is their playbook to divide and conquer and to keep us distracted under the guise of public health. Well, I'm here to tell you that because of everything that we've been through over the last few years, and because of people like you, and I'm going to share your letters, who have been standing up and fighting back, many of you with my direction and guidance, how about that word, and my education in helping you understand your rights and the laws that protect them. And I'm going to bring to you a very recent encounter of a healthy American that's been a supporter of mine from the beginning, helping to keep his children safe and pure. I'm going to tell you what he's been fighting against here in California, in San Diego. It's stunning. And then on the opposite coast in Florida, they are doing the exact opposite. They are passing legislation protecting your health freedom, and in a certain way, rolling back some of these egregious, outrageous, unconstitutional, lacking in legitimate authority types of public health overreach. Friends, over the last few years, we experienced a situation where one person, an unelected representative, not even a representative, an unelected public servant, if they're serving evil, was telling you what to do, a health officer. And I've shown videos before and images before. A lot of these people, I personally wouldn't take health advice from. It doesn't look like they're following it themselves, as if putting on the magic face covering is somehow now going to make you healthy when you haven't exercised or watched after your diet or gotten a good night's sleep and you're on all sorts of medical prescriptions and so forth, yet putting on the suffocation device is suddenly going to make you healthy. That's what they told us. So I wanna bring you a little bit of good news here that people are pushing back against that. In the beginning, operating in fear, they actually thought that a public health officer had the authority to tell them to stay home, to close their business, to take their children out of school, to not travel, to self-suffocate, to not have your family be around you, to not hug anyone or shake anyone's hand. Are people still doing that weird kind of fist bump and elbow thing? I never did any of it whatsoever. How in the world am I still standing? How in the world is it that I've never had nary a sniffle or a sneeze, or once in a while I've coughed on screen? I thought that the cooties police were going to come and give me a ticket and haul me away because I had a little bit of a dry throat. Friends, I've done dozens, hundreds of videos all about your health freedom. There is no law against being sick. You have a right to be sick if you want to. Some of you have told me you wanted to actually be sick so that your body could detox. You wanted to put your feet up, watch a few movies, eat some chicken soup, take a few days off. I have a right to be sick if I want to, because it's individual health. And we have a country that was built on individual liberty as long as we are not harming someone else. The concept that you are harming someone just by living, just by breathing, has never been proven to have any legitimate authority behind it. So those of you, and my heart goes out to those of you that have been afflicted by some sort of cold or flu or whatever else might be going around, you may have lost a loved one to some type of horrible disease condition or possibly ill treatment at the hands of others. And I tell you, you are in my prayers on a daily basis. So what I'm saying comes from a heart of compassion. It is time to really look and dig deeper into why some people get sick and some people don't. I have the privilege of being on a health summit coming up in June, and I will leave a link for you. Hopefully I will have a link for you, and I will update this video when that comes out, where you can sign up to be a part of this, to watch over, I think there are, oh my gosh, dozens and dozens of health freedom experts everywhere, everyone from doctors to psychiatrists to freedom fighters like myself. And we will be talking about what happened in the last few years, the lessons that we can learn from it, and where we go from here. So taking positive steps to make positive waves of change going forward. Right now, I want to share with you a couple of highlights from you, my lovely healthy Americans. And before I get to these letters, let me read to you an email exchange. And this is from a healthy American in San Diego, as I say, has been fighting from day one, has reached out to me for help with his children in school, and he has not complied with any of this. So it turns out that he needs to go into a health setting to get his blood pressure checked. And it says that the nurse is saying that they want him to come in person into the office to get the blood pressure checked. So he writes back and he says, actually, let me go. He says, please note that I cannot suffocate myself safely, and I've already alerted patient relations by email. And this is like months ago, all right? This was back in September. He says, please let the staff know in advance of my arrival. And then the response comes back, and you probably went through this yourself, friends. And the response comes back and says, dear patient, patients can breathe oxygen in the lobby or the waiting room. However, when receiving direct care, the suffocation devices must be worn in the back office and in the patient room. So my healthy American writes back and says, I cannot wear one safely as stated in the previous message, and I cannot be denied access on the basis of a medical condition. Please see California Civil Code, and he includes California Civil Code 51, which was one of the first laws that I taught everyone back in 2020 about you have the right of free and equal access to all places of public accommodation, which include private businesses. Private businesses do not have the authority to violate the law, nor do public places such as hospitals. It doesn't matter if it's a private doctor's office. As long as commerce is being conducted and money is being exchanged, it falls under the legal definition of a public accommodation. So he shares with them the law, which says all persons within this jurisdiction of this state are free and equal. That's all the law needs to say. But it goes on to say, no matter what their sex, race, color, religion, ancestry, national origin, disability, medical condition. Friends, I have a medical condition which prohibits me from putting on the suffocation device. I don't know if I've spoken about that recently, but I do. And my medical condition, it's called breathing. Yes, if I obstruct my breathing, I will have an episode that I don't want to have, which is called suffocation. So it goes on to say genetic information, marital status, sexual orientation, citizenship, primary language, or immigration status. All of these are protected characteristics, which means everyone is protected. Everyone has an age and a race and a gender. So we all have a national origin. So we all are protected under this law in California, California Code, Civil Code 51. You have the same civil codes in your state, perhaps a different name or a different number. It says that we have the right to free and equal, full and equal accommodations, advantages, facilities, privileges, or services in all business establishments of every kind whatsoever. That's very comprehensive, isn't it? All business establishments of every kind, including private, whatsoever means there are no exceptions. Many of you learned about this law. I had it on postcards. You educated people. But can you believe it? In California, they're still pulling out this hogwash, still sloshing the hogwash. So he says, please let the staff know of my situation prior to my arrival. And guess what their email is back? The policy at this time is that the patients can breathe oxygen in the waiting areas, but do need to suffocate in the exam room. If you're not able to do this, then we can change your appointment to a video visit. And he writes back and says, no, it was the healthcare provider wanted me to come in person. This is not something I can do on a video visit. You are denying me equal access. And this is discrimination. So he said, unless I receive an in-person consult, my overall health is being put into jeopardy. This is unlawful and immoral. Please maintain my in-person appointment. So I responded because he kept me up to date on this. And I reminded him of some of the information. So here's what you can do if this is happening to you. First of all, you do appeal it. And because he is talking about a large medical provider here in California, you go to their non-discrimination department in writing and you let them know that you're being discriminated against and you want it rectified. All right, so you get it in writing. Whether or not they're going to honor it is not always the point. The point is that you are creating a record, a written record. Are you with me? And I know that you are. The second thing is you can let them know that you are willing to lodge a complaint against the medical provider with the medical licensing board. Now, of course, in California, that's not going to do anything because the medical board is, from my experience, not following the law, and they are allowing these discrimination cases to go ahead. But the point is that it's on the record in case you ever take legal action down the road. Now, here are the more, let's say, practical and effective steps that you can take. Number one, you inform them that that staff member, whoever is doing the blood pressure or whatever they're doing, they can wear additional PPE. All right, they can put on the shield, they can put on the N95, they can put on 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, however many suffocation devices they want. They can put on all of the protective stuff, and there you have it. And by the way, didn't they get the cocktail against the cooties? Am I mistaken? Does it not work? I thought that's why everybody had to do it. So you ask them that question, aren't you protected? So it doesn't work. So then why do I have to do all of this? All right. The other thing is you ask them to read the patient's Bill of Rights, have them read it to you out loud. So the patient's Bill of Rights states that you personally have the right to refuse any healthcare, any medical intervention that you do not consent to without being denied any other medical treatment. I've used the example, if you break your leg, you go in, they're going to put it in a cast. They see that you're in pain. They want to give you a shot of morphine. They want to inject you with another cocktail called morphine. And you say, you know, I don't want that. They cannot refuse you treatment for the broken leg. You have the right of no consent to whatever it is you do not consent to, and they cannot refuse you treatment. So you stand on that as well. That is in the patient's bill of rights. The patient's bill of rights also states that you personally have the right to refuse any medical experiment. All right. Guess what? The suffocation device is a medical experiment. How do I know that? Because the FDA has never approved the suffocation devices for the purpose of what they say they want it to do, which is to prevent the transmission of this illness. It has never been proven. These are under an emergency use authorization, which means they are a medical experiment. Therefore, you have the right to refuse. Now, just as an aside, I would ask them, if they really push you, just for fun, I would ask them to bring you the box of those suffocation devices and tell them that you forgot your glasses and have them read the fine print that says, this device does not prevent the transmission of illness or disease. Just have them read it to you out loud for a couple of laughs. It'll be a lot of fun. All right. The other thing is that in California, we have a couple of health and safety codes. One is 24171, which says you have sovereignty over your own body when it comes to medical choices. That's right. So you have the right to refuse morphine, suffocation devices, nasal assaults, cocktails, all of that. You have the right. 24172 goes on to say that you have the right to refuse any medical experiment without discrimination, duress. And my doggy Teddy really gets upset when I talk about this because she can feel my passion. I can't stand when you are being threatened with this kind of discrimination. Finally, in California, California Civil Code 46 states that it is libel, it is slander, it is defamation to impute you with an infectious disease, which means to claim that you are carrying a contagious disease when you're not. It is defamation. It is a civil code violation. And you tell them that by them saying that you have to suffocate yourself in order to get the medical treatment, that they are saying that you are carrying a disease when you are not. So there are so, and there are so many more, but those are the highlights that I shared with Mark and, that I shared with the Healthy American. And he is going on to fight this. And I just want to say that it's people like you that are making a difference. There are so many places now in California that have pulled back all of these illegal measures. And of course, it's the medical settings that are standing strong. Why? Money, 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 money. They all are getting money from Medicare, which means it's from your tax money and the dollars that they print out of thin air from the federal government. And they are afraid that if they allow someone in breathing oxygen, that of course, there's going to be a task force strike team come in and haul them away and you, and they're never going to get their money and everything will collapse. That either that, or they're just corrupt. One of the two. Now I want to share. So good work to our Healthy American standing up. He is still standing strong. He's going to use this and I will keep you posted on what happens. So friends, they are required to accommodate you. What I would recommend is that you ask for a healthcare provider that doesn't live in fear, that will be willing to treat you as a human being and not a diseased, you know, loathsome victim or something. It's absolutely despicable and we have to stand against it. All right. I see that the video is getting a little long, so I will wrap up by sharing with you a couple of these heartwarming messages that I got from my Healthy Americans. You can send me snail mail at 205 Avenida Del Mar, number 681, that's San Clemente, California, 92674. I also will have that linked for you below. It's also at the website over at thehealthyamerican.org. Get on my free Substack, get on my newsletter. And of course, I also am on Rumble and BitChute in case you can't find my videos here. Look under the live tab as well as the video tab for all of the latest videos. I will bring a second video to you about I'll bring that to you tomorrow about the good news coming out of Florida and how they are doing the exact opposite of what's happening in California. All right, this lovely, beautiful card I shared with you yesterday in a video, and I wanted to read it to you. And she said, it says, an abundance of thanks to you. I appreciate all you do. Keep up the good fight. You give hope and encouragement to us all. And then she said, I wrote you a short note, ha ha, because it's not that short. And I included a small gift. Friends, those of you that support me with a small gift, small or large, all of your donations at this point here that you've been supporting me for that lawsuit. They're going 100% to pay my bills to fight these public serpents. I've got some updates for you, and I will have an updated page for you on the website where everything will be there for you. And you can make a donation there if you'd like as well. thehealthyamerican.org. All right. She writes, Peggy, I bought this card for you sometime last year, and I wanted to send it with you to you with a small donation ever since, but I had to wait for some funds to come in. Friends, I don't want you to send me any money if it's a hardship. Please, your prayers and encouragement help me a lot. There are those that have the financial wherewithal to do so, and I'm so grateful that they can. She says, please accept this small donation and use it however you want or need. I wish it could be more. I know you are continuing the fight in court against Orange County, and I'm cheering you on from the sidelines. I am in awe of your tenacity, she says. But more than that, I'm grateful you created the Healthy American Community. Friends, I love our Healthy American Community. I was just singing your praises on another interview that I did that will be coming up for you in a couple of weeks. I'll be airing it later. And I said, I'm so lucky on YouTube because I've got a smart, sophisticated, savvy audience that actually is willing to have conversations, to entertain different perspectives, to help others gain more knowledge and become more awake, aware, alert as to what's going on. So we don't do, you know, all sorts of vulgarity and mudslinging here. It's a very, let me say, elevated place to be. And I love it. And I'm so grateful for her appreciation of that and of you. She says, I've been following you for years. Yes, it's been years. She says, it sounds odd saying that, but they do go by fast. It gave me comfort to find you and Pastor Dave back then. You were voices of reason and truth in the sea of evil in which we all find ourselves. I've been a part of your concierge services, and I count myself a member of this amazing family. I attended Beach Church several times with my daughter over the last few years. Friends, our Beach Church is currently on hiatus. God has called us into a period of rest and renewal. We likely will have a special event this summer in San Clemente, California. I'll let you know as soon as that is arranged. We would love to have you join us, where we can share faith and prayer and fellowship and fun and family and food and freedom. She says, although not as brave as you at first, you gave me the courage to stand up for myself and shop breathing oxygen. It seems ludicrous that we should have to breathe in the air that we expel. Nothing made any sense. She says, people lost their minds. It did not make sense to me that we were told to stay inside when sunlight is what our bodies need to make vitamin D. I was not afraid. God did not make a mistake when he created our perfect bodies. When the cocktail became available, I prayed for discernment. I was given clear direction from God to remain pure and not interfere with my God-given immune system. It was a very odd time. Friends and coworkers, but thank goodness not my kids, were so sure we needed the cocktail, but I knew that God did not make a mistake when he created our amazing immune system. Now, I want everybody to brace themselves because this is kind of the hard part of the letter. There is a happy ending. And the reason I'm sharing this is I want you to know that some people work for criminals. It's no different than there being a law against carjacking, but cars get carjacked all the time. Why? Because there are criminals. There are laws against murder and break-ins and abuse and all an assault, but it happens all the time. Why? Because these people are criminals. So this individual works for a criminal enterprise. And she writes, I worked for Disney for 26 years. As you know, they required the cocktail to stay employed. I applied for the accommodation to their requirement, and I knew what I would be up against. I was not confused. I was not conflicted. They applied extreme pressure, but it was not a hard decision for me. I knew that I would not go against what God told me to do. My employment with Disney was temporal, but my soul is for eternity. I really love how she described that. And I want to be with our Father in heaven when I leave this earth. I went through Disney's rigorous process and they eventually illegally denied me and they fired me in May of 2022. They said I didn't qualify for the exemption. You see, friends, this is evil at work. You shouldn't even have to apply or qualify for anything. You're informing them of your decision. And the fact that a company thinks that it has the right to require a medical intervention, this is absolutely stunning to me. Absolutely, I'm flabbergasted. She said, I didn't even get severance. I got nothing but a kick out of the door after 26 years. She said, I gave them more than a quarter of a century of devoted service, but God is amazing. She writes, I thought that if I had lost my job, I would be in deep financial trouble within a few months, but God has been lifting me up for over a year now. Things have fallen into place, she writes, in exchange for an extremely stressful, all-encompassing, more than full-time job, which was no doubt shaving years off my life. She says, I now get to care for my baby granddaughter during the week. What a pleasure every day is now. God had a plan. He always has a plan. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for your encouragement, your education, your example of living in grace. Wow, I really appreciate that. I could go on and on, but this is enough for now. Thank you. Yours in light and love. And this is a healthy American from Southern California. She said, like you, I am tenacious and I am not giving up the fight. More will be revealed as God's plan unfolds, of that I am sure. And then she said, can you believe I was going to write a short note? Ha ha. I quickly realized I wanted to explain fully how grateful I am to you and how much I appreciate all you do. Kind of like I was going to do a short video. Ha ha. I always have so much to share. So that was this beautiful card right here. And I'll end with this one. A beautiful note that says, sometimes life is hard to figure out. Challenges and obstacles arise that were never in our plans. Yet God is always there to take us by the hand, walk with us step by step, and guide us through to the good he has for our lives. Friends, let me know in a comment below the good that you have experienced out of all of this hogwash. And I know it may be hard to find. I know you have had losses. You've had deaths that you've experienced of loved ones. You've had financial difficulties, loss of job, loss of where to live, loss of relationships. But think about some good that has come from it. You're a part of our healthy American community here. You're smarter. You're more educated. You've taken action. You know very clearly that there is evil and how to fight it. So I count that among the good that I've experienced. And we have a lovely healthy American that says, thank you for your courage and endurance. It's such a season of chaos and concern. I used to feel proud to be from Oregon. However, our state has transformed to be in step with California and other blue states. I pray for the world, for our nation, our individual states, and overall exposure of truth and appreciation of justice. May our nation return to our foundation of freedom and faith in God. And then may the Lord continue to strengthen you, guide you, and give you his peace, appreciation, and blessings. I'm so grateful for a lovely, healthy American from Oregon. Friends, the reason I bring you these encouraging notes is because I want you to share in how much they uplift me. They help me keep going. You help me keep going. I'm grateful for all of you. I wanted to shorten the videos, and many of you said, no, just keep talking. I want to hear everything that you have to say.